Hello, and welcome to Days of Our Lives, Mint's audio history series on liberalization and the ordinary man. Here, you will hear stories of how life changed for most people, be it the Sunshine Boy or the CEO following the reforms of 1991 in their voices.
Yesterday, you heard Joyshree Arora, better known as Bhagwanti, from Hum Log. Today, we bring you the man who brought another milestone soap, Shanti, to your TV screens.
I would say in the 1990s, I don't think the environment was enough to make anyone ambitious and aspirational. It was really a downer, I would think. That's where my memories of that 1990s. To go out and raise funds was still very early days for India. It wasn't an attractive destination.
One of the most iconic scenes from the movie Swadesh has Mohan Bhargav, played by Shah Rukh Khan, tell the villagers of Charanpur why he does not think India is such a great nation. Ronnie Screwvala, whose company UTV produced the film, takes a leaf out of Bhargav's book for this series as he critiques liberalization and explains why it is still a slow, ongoing transformation.
Well, I think I was born in a sort of lower middle class family, you know, and we stayed in an area called Grand Road in Mumbai. And I think my first 16 years of my life were pretty much there. I think it taught me a lot in terms of grounding. You know, we had whatever we needed, but there was no sense of any sort of large luxury. My early days in Grand Road, I think, were very, very core building of, you know, just combination of good Parsi values, combination of being frugal, understanding the value for money, hard work, and actually understanding life from the perspective of where you started up from.
Okay.
And valuing that at every given stage. And I think even today, I may have moved up and done a few things here and there, and I may be starting my second innings. But actually, when I have to lean back on stuff, I think those will be the days that taught me the strongest lessons. I studied in a school called Dunn's Institute till the 8th standard, and that was a very different conversation there. I think the conversations there were pretty much, again, coming from that very non-affluent, lower-middle-class context. So it was much more about just the basics of life and really struggling hard and the importance of academics and the importance of doing well. I think at some stage when I shifted for the last 3-4 years of my schooling life to Cathedral, it was a bold-faced change because now suddenly I was getting to a much more premium school where actually the peer pressure was completely different because everyone came in a car and I was taking the BST bus to work. But on the flip side, I think those are the days where you feel that most people are not that conscious because I think the friend circle one made,
I think
most of the people were mostly socioeconomically better off than what I was at that particular stage. I think when I moved out of Cathedral, from the Dunn's Institute, nice, good, humble days to the 4 years in Cathedral, I think I got a lot more arrogant and a lot more, you get a swagger about you, all the wrong things in life in many aspects. And I think I got that.
Today, India boasts of one of the largest economies in the world and is considered to be a fertile hunting ground for entrepreneurs. But for a young Ronnie Screwvala, coming of age in the 80s, entrepreneurship existed only as a concept and one that wasn't considered very respectable.
When I was in Dunn's Institute and when I was at Grand Road, my ambitions had already risen sky high because I think when you're at that level and you just feel a different sense of aspiration and a feeling to break out.
Right.
I guess not that you necessarily see affluence around you. No, I don't think when you see affluence around you, it kind of endorses you or not. At least to me, it didn't. I think it was just at that particular stage, I was already in that zone. I was very much in that zone where I wanted to be ambitious. I thought I was growing to be ambitious. I guess moving to a school like Cathedral means I was exercising and working hard towards that ambition.
Right.
Wanted to do something on my own. Which at that stage, you know, today we say entrepreneurship and startup, but at that stage, I don't think anyone visualized that. I wouldn't have been able to spell the word entrepreneur.
But what influenced you to kind of suddenly change gear?
I don't know. I think it was a combination of my theater days. I used to do theater as a hobby. I think I was also doing front of work television for at that time the only broadcast channel, which was Doordarshan. So I used to do a program called Magic Lamp and a program called Young World. And so I think somewhere down the line, I was enchanted with the whole context of what I would call entertainment, I wouldn't say media and entertainment at that stage,
okay,
because
it was entertainment.
It was, yeah, it was not even, I mean, media would have been an evolved world at that stage. I can call it now
media
and entertainment, but at that time it wasn't there. Correct.
There was only
correct. So I think, so that was veering into that I wanted to do this. At the end of my crossroad of finishing my BCom, and by that time, I think my parents were very clear that I should go do my chartered accountancy.
So how old were you when this was happening? Which year was it?
I'd be 19, 20, I mean, about 20, 21 in that age group, 20, 21,
okay.
I would say. I'm
okay.
Just trying to figure out, 16 I passed out of school, so I guess 19, maybe, 19.
19, okay.
And chartered accountancy was definitely on the cards for me.
Because of the sort of natural progression after studying.
Yes, onwards. And I think that gave you, I mean, to my parents, that was like one solid background that would come my
ensure
way.
Like stability
having chosen
career.
BCom and whatever else, and obviously my father comes from a professional background, so him, it was his moral bound duty to see to it that
head rubbing. But that, how did that completely shift gear to, like you said?
No, so I didn't go out and do that, and it was that 3 month window in which I either bought a plane for chartered accountancy, and that he wanted me to do it in the UK. So I think the clarity was that he used to work for a British multinational, so he had got he had a lot of influence to get me into a UK college at that particular point in time.
Okay.
To do my chartered accountancy, and it was all set, and
okay.
the admission had come in. And I had this 3 month window, and I was already starting to break it to them that I don't think I'm going to make it, and I don't think at that stage anyone was willing to take no for an answer. And so we sort of negotiated that said, after college, I'd like to just take a job. And then maybe if I take a job for 6 months and I experience what it is to take a job rather than starting on my own. You see, entrepreneurship was frowned on that.
Yes.
I think today also in many ways it's frowned on. I know people evangelize.
Call it a bubble and all of that.
No, I think people think that we are a startup nation, but I don't think yet we're a startup nation in that sense, because entrepreneurship is still frowned on. Most families feel, now you didn't get yourself a good job, so now you want to start doing something on your own.
Yeah.
So, and that's not really the case. And in-laws are most worried when anyone says you want to be an entrepreneur, right?
Yeah.
So it's not really evangelized.
The mindset's
it's not
still
really,
not completely
not
evolved.
At all. I don't think so at all. And it wasn't then either.
Okay.
So I think I negotiated that says, okay, let me just work for 6 months so that I know myself a little better.
Yeah.
So that made sense to them because I was still pursuing the professional career and at least not this harebrained scheme of turning entrepreneur. So I did a job for 3 months in an advertising agency. But at the end of 3 months, I just said, I really can't do this at all. And I do want to start something of my own. Yeah, it was definitely 6 to 9 months of stress after that in the family.
Okay.
But you know, in retrospect, I would say that's more because it's the natural thing. Because parents want to do it for the right reason.
For the right.
In this day of Netflix, torrents, HD channels and video on demand, it is difficult to visualize a time when our TV screens only had one channel. Screwwala's journey as an entertainment czar started with people shutting doors on his face when he tried to sell them a cable connection.
So I started off and I was doing a fair amount in terms of
Content creation?
No, at that time there was no content. 1980s,
there was
no content
creation.
So the cable part really came about. I started
90s.
Working with my, at that time, ex-father-in-law.
Okay.
Because he was also clear that this is something we want to do. So both of us started working on that. And
so
I was really the person who was starting off on it. And it definitely wasn't easy. At that stage, back to the restricted days, going out of India was a real chore. You had only $20 as an allowance to go out of town. So you almost looked like an absolute fool when you landed in any American or anywhere
British,
in the world or anywhere else. Because even the cab fare would be absurd in that time. But you have to figure it out, you know. So I think when one traveled, because we had such a drought of everything, you know, there was to get a chocolate back was a luxury because you never got even a chocolate here in that sense. Of course, Cadbury's was there, but
imported
chocolates or cheese or anything.
Yeah.
Or television because there was nothing except for
Doodarshan.
And even Doodarshan in the 80s is different from even the Doodarshan of the 90s.
I think it was time bound that it was coming only for like one program or two programs.
And then it would
best.
Be off.
And
know,
would
in,
be off,
in that context.
Yeah,
so when you start seeing
screen.
When you start seeing the array of programs and television there, I think that got me a lot in some of my early visits that says, why can't we have multiple choices here?
Yeah.
And I think that, so it was a concept of offering multiple choices, which to me sounded like such a brilliant idea. Cable TV for us was having the second channel. So cable TV for us was, okay, we'll get you Doodarshan, but now we'll also get you a second channel.
Right.
Now, so to most people, there was not even a concept of a remote, you know, because the TV set was something that you got up, put it on, and put it off. There was no concept of a remote there in hardware at that stage. So to me, it sounded just so elementary that if I told everyone, I'll give you a second channel, everyone said, really? And everyone go for it. And for the next 1 year, we got zero takers. The number of door-to-door calls I would have done in that 1 year again taught me again, how, you know, feet on the ground. Those were, I would say, very grounding years again. So for a year, we found no takers. And I think it also taught me in entrepreneurship a very strong lesson that unless you really have strong conviction in what you're doing, chances are you're going to walk away. Now, but the fact that I stood with it because I was very convinced that this is elementary, my dear guy. Now, somebody, someday, somewhere is going to this thing. So it's not a question of... It's not a question of whether, it's a question of when.
When.
And I am going to go out and do it myself. So the first 3 months we hired a team.
Yeah.
Then one said, move away, I'll go out to each door.
Yeah.
But every time you went for a door visit and got slammed on a door or whatever else, and there were enough of the slamming of the doors, you learned. At the end of 1 year, we started off and then, you know, one thing led to another. And then for the next 5 years, we built the company.
Yeah.
At that stage also, I think the other thing I learned was the importance of scaling up in India, because I think we think too small. So that was early
Has
days.
Has that changed now in post-liberalization?
I don't think it's changed at all. I think, you know, look, you'll have a 500th of 1,000 people who are thinking big. But, you know, we're 1.3 billion people. We need 10 million people to think big. So I think scale at scale is not coming through today.
Okay.
You know, I think we, even with today's entrepreneurs, I would say that we reach our glass ceilings very soon. Started UTV with 37,500 rupees. To be precise.
I want to close this with an anecdote that I read about you, Raghav, and I think Mr. Roy as well.
Pranoy and Arun.
Yeah,
Puri.
Yeah. Sort of
standing in the Doordarshan line.
Yes. So can you give us that picture and can you tell us about that entire...
Yeah, so I think there was this one national Doordarshan
like
and then everyone said
they're
going to start a Doordarshan 2 and a Doordarshan Metro.
Yeah,
and
Metro happened.
Yeah, and then you had to go pick up a form and it was a first come, first serve basis. Like,
okay, and
hello,
this was, I think, early in the
no
morning
sense.
You guys were standing outside.
No, previous night.
The previous night.
No, so the previous night, all of us sent one representative.
Okay, and then you guys
who
came
had
in
to
yours.
Then, and then they got this thing and we would go there early morning.
Who was the
morning.
First?
I think it was Pranoy.
Okay, and what was that scene like? What was the vibe like when the four of you actually were together?
Hysterical. I mean, it was, and they were, firstly, they were not just four, there were many more in the line
but,
in that whole thought
yes.
process. But if I would have that reference, because it was like, we were just saying, but in a sense, it was also a lot of camaraderie ship, right? Because at the end of the day, we weren't being competitive.
Did you get the sense that India is finally onto something? Look at people like us, kind of, you know, I mean, was there a sense of a high?
It was very early day. Of course, it was high.
Yeah.
I think it was high because here we were getting out there and trying to do something new, a new opportunity to open up. And imagine now one new channel open and we thought that was an oasis.
Yeah.
Today nobody would give a F for it, you know, kind of situation.
Most people who've made their fortunes over the past 25 years owe it in one way or the other to the reforms of 1991. For Screwvala, liberalization was a catalyst, but the credit for his success lies more with him rather than the reforms.
So the 1990s, I think, had a fair sense of liberalization. I mean, firstly, your tax regime got a little bit more rationalized. Okay, and that made some sense. It made some sense to work because it was like at 97% tax, who are you working for?
Yeah.
Okay, so there was a rationalization there.
Right.
I think there was some respect in the fact that if you were doing any international travel or any international business, somebody could treat you with respect. But otherwise, as I said, between the foreign exchange restrictions of that state... Not being able to import and whatever else.
Yeah.
Nobody would take you seriously because who are you and why are you talking to and you'll never be able to live up to your word and whatever else.
Yeah.
So I think that sense of liberalization took it to another level. I think there's a little bit of a cultural liberalization also because I think with the advent of cable satellite TV, starting with the Gulf War and then ZTV in 1992, that started opening up a whole new thought process.
Yeah.
And you know, in India, when you're such an influential... When media plays such an influential role, I think that was seriously important. So you were seeing an opening of minds for that too.
Okay. And is that what propelled for you to get into kind of
content
creation?
I would say that the media thing that time started making sense. See, service industries were not respected or frowned upon. And therefore, banks never wanted to give any loans to it. They couldn't understand the business at all and therefore would never fund it.
Yeah.
So therefore, you had to go for equity or restrict your growth.
Okay.
So to me, that's a mixed bag of liberalization, if you look at it. So that means one had to go for equity.
Yeah.
So at early stage, yes, you would go for equity. And if you're very fortunate and you're extremely broad in your vision, people would back you.
Yeah.
But those were early days, and I would have much rather not diluted my equity at that stage, if I could have other means. But there were no other means. I have to say that I didn't feel connected in the thought process of liberalization. I think liberalization happened too slowly. For anyone to really feel that kind of impact.
Okay.
I do not want to give it discredit.
Okay.
I think it's moved along.
Yeah.
But I think at the pace at which it happened, you had to move harder, faster, better than than a sudden opening up situation.
Yeah.
But I don't think the normal middle class household at that
felt
suddenly that the consumption pattern is open, that the shackles are broken, it's easier for me to do business.
Yeah.
I can consume what I want to.
Yeah.
My income is going up and it's a better life. That sense of liberalization has only happened in the last 7-8 years, I would say, even to 2005. For the first 10 years, it was really for a very few, select few. I think everyone needs to understand that when you have 400 regulations before you want to do anything,
yeah,
and with liberalization it comes to 200.
Yeah.
Now, for that, it's a huge movement. Yeah. But for somebody starting up afresh, and for the younger generation today, it's still 199 more than anything that I may want to do.
Yeah.
So today, a first generation or anybody, the youth today,
yeah.
I think would still have big challenges because it's still one third of what it used to be, and therefore it's liberalization. But the way from that standpoint they're sitting on, it's still too many. You can take liberalization today where the young people feel that they can have aspirations in India,
and
it can happen. So I think the optimism is very much there and has been there for the last 5-7 years.
Yeah.
I just worry that it won't last forever. Okay, and this next 5 to 10 years now, we have to arrive.
In 2012, Walt Disney acquired a controlling stake in Screwvala's company, UTV. Even though Screwvala questions the role of reforms in his professional journey, the media and entertainment industry that he is an integral part of would not have come about without these reforms.